Good afternoon and welcome to His Alliance. This is Pastor Gary. And I'd like to take the opportunity right now to welcome Ms. Rhonda Hansen. Ms. Hansen has joined us from Nashville. She's an accomplished author, songwriter, and speaker. Welcome, Rhonda.
Thank you.
And we're also joined by Pastor Crystal Shipling.
Hi.
And we're going to be talking this afternoon about Rhonda's relationship with God, who she refers to as Father. Rhonda, when did you first develop a relationship where it was that close?
Later in life. And just because I was raised in church all my life, you know, from a young girl, had a love for the Lord, but didn't have a relationship, had a lot of church crammed down my throat. But when I became an older adult, I've probably been walking with the Lord now about 25 years, and just a real raw salvation experience. Wasn't led to the Lord by any street preachers or Christians or anything. Just found him in a circumstance that I was in. And just, you know, was isolated in my life at that time, cut off from my family and friends, and didn't have anybody to get close to. And so I locked in to the personality of the Lord and found out who my Father was. And I found out that he was really wanting to spend time with me. It was just a neat thing. So about 25 years ago, as an adult, began walking with the Lord. So still going.
As you have developed this relationship with God, what do you think one of the keys is that you bring to the table?
Well, I'm not really sure. I guess I haven't really. I probably think less about things than people would like for me to, you know, but it's just a natural thing with me. I would say the thing I would most recommend, not just in a relationship with the Lord, but a relationship with anybody, is just honesty. And I don't think the Lord is threatened by me, and I'm not threatened by him. And we just accept each other for who we are. As much as I know about him, I totally accept him, and he accepts me without me having to change myself or jump through a lot of hoops for him and everything. I feel like I know the Lord loves me, but I used to not really appreciate that fact because that's his job. You know, the Bible says God is love. And So I figured, well, that's your job. You have to love me, you know, but I just have begun to realize over the years that he likes me, and not necessarily that I'm likable, but I really believe in my heart that he has a soft spot for his children, that he really does have genuine affection for us, you know.
What type of advice would you have for somebody that is seeing God as this overbearing individual, somebody that they're supposed to be afraid of? How do they transition into a true relationship?
Well, I think the first thing is to go ahead and put away everything you were ever taught about God and start over, you know, because people claim that they know God and they give him this reputation that really he doesn't deserve, you know. And all my life I was taught that the Lord was one big frown, you know, that he was waiting to send me to hell if I messed up or slipped into sin. And what I found when I met the Lord Jesus in a hospital room and I gave my life to him, he wanted me to know his Father, and I wasn't really keen on knowing anybody's Father at the time. But I began to read what the Bible had to say about fathers. And when I got to Psalm 103, I lost it, where the word says that a father has compassion on his children, Jehovah has for those who fear him. And he remembers that we're dust, and he feels pity for us, and he loves us, you know, has compassion on us. And when you begin to look at him through that lens and filter him through that lens, it starts to tear away at all these things, these ideas that people gave you about him. And he's a sweetheart. You know, I just can't imagine anybody any more compassionate and patient. And he just doesn't get all wigged out over stuff that, you know, that religion gets all wigged out over. And I have never felt that Father was down on me, you know. And even though there are times when I can feel that I've grieved the Holy Spirit through sin, you know, which is conviction is actually a beautiful thing. If you look at conviction the right way, it's actually a beautiful. But, I've never felt that Father was ticked off at me or didn't like me today, liked me better yesterday than he does today. It just never felt that way. I would say to anybody that just go ahead and unlearn all the stuff that you learned and start over fresh and just learn what the Bible says about Father and actually embrace that instead of what preachers have told you all your life. Because, you know, we may have titles, we may be preachers or teachers or evangelists or musicians or whatever, but, you know, we're all just saved by grace, and none of us really know more than anybody else. We all need a Savior. And when you have a Savior, then we're all engrafted into the body of Christ, and we have the same Father. And he feels the same way about you guys as he does about me, you know. So we all have the chance to have that same closeness with him. It's not something unique to me.
So it's a matter of taking him, going beyond having God in a box, that he's just there on Sunday or just there in times of our need or our desire, that it's a thing that we relate to him on all levels.
I involve him in everything. I involve him. People who know me know I'm a huge Brett Favre fan, huge Packers fan. I watch, you know, football, and I chat with the Lord while I'm watching football, and I don't mind telling him that I want the Packers to win. And, you know, it's not about whether or not they win. They may or they may not. He may let them lose that day. It's not anything about that. It's just that I want him to come watch football with me, you know. He wants me to come hang out with him and do some things with him. But I involve him in pretty much everything on some level. If I take these long road trips from Nashville to Michigan, I would just talk his ears off when I'm by myself about nothing. And it doesn't have to be about anything. It's not that he's so interested in what I'm saying. He just loves his child, and he wants to hear my voice, even though it grates on other people. He loves it. That's just how he is. And he would love to be asked, you know, to come in the morning times, have a cup of coffee outside when it's nice. You know, he'd love to be asked to sit in on that. He would love it. He just is so willing to talk to his children if they would just make a place for him and open their ears and just, you know, he wants to be involved in every area of their life. It doesn't have to be religious. And that's my point about the Packers thing. It doesn't have to be anything spiritual. You know, we sometimes we wait until we're in this real euphoric spiritual churchy state, and then we want to you know, see if God's around anywhere. But, you know, God's around anywhere. He so wants to be involved in your life on every level. I would say don't reserve just Sunday to talk to God, but just incorporate him into your week and get his opinion on things. I do when I'm decorating in my house. I ask him, what do you think about this? Well, he may not boom out of the heavens and tell me, but I just know that he loves to be asked, you know. Just anything like that. I just feel to incorporate him in every area. And I know it sounds silly, and I know that some people think that that's a fantasy view, but I learned when I walked with the Lord that he cared about the things that I cared about, and there were no dumb questions. And, you know, there were no stupid things to talk to him about. I found that he wants to hear about anything, no matter what it is. He just wants to be with his children. That's why he created us, and that's why he sent his son to bring us back to him. You know, because his heart is full of us. I believe that. So,
one of the things you've said before that always strikes me is that really, in order to have a relationship with God, all we need to do is show up.
Show up for the relationship. That's my daily intent. I don't stop and think about, well, you know, one thing I know that the enemy likes to do is he likes to catch you in a moment where you just fallen into sin. Like me, you know, I may just be having a great day and humming every hymn I know, and then all of a sudden something go wrong. Well, I don't know what's coming out of my mouth. You know, I may just start inventing cuss words if I run out of them, you know. And, you know, but the thing is, but I don't shock the Father when I do that. Yeah. He doesn't fall off his throne because he thought I was better than that, you know. And I'm not going to get any brownie points out of the Lord. If I'm a good little girl today, he's not going to love me more today than he did yesterday because I was bad yesterday. All the love I could ever get from him, I got at Calvary. There's no more to give me, and there's no less to give me. I've already got it. So I quit working for it, you know. And I just, one of the things the enemy likes to do is catch you in a moment of sin and get you to feel so crummy about it and so dirty that you're too ashamed to even go ask for forgiveness, you know, some vile sin or something. But I've learned that's a trick of the enemy, because if he can get you to postpone coming to the Father to ask for forgiveness, that time of alienation from the Father because of your shame will become more and more extended until you're just too ashamed to come to him. That's what the enemy's plan is. And I've learned to just burst right through that right away, right in my sin, to go up to Father with sin all over me and say, look what I just did. Look what I just said. I really need you to forgive me for that. I'm sorry I did it. I don't wait until I feel better about what I did before I go to the Lord. I keep showing up for the relationship. You know, I just keep confessing my sins and not waiting until I feel forgiven or I feel clean enough to ask for forgiveness.
Rhonda, do you have any advice for someone who's having a problem trying to relate to God as their personal father, as something personal, because they have spent so much of their time in awe or in fear of him?
I would say that the Lord gives us so many revelations about himself in the Word. And our tendency, though, is to look at our examples of heavenly, I mean, of earthly fathers who let us down, our yelling preachers who, you know, ranted and raved, or, you know, people have had some bad experiences with fathers in this world. I would say to put all that away and go back and see what the Father tells us about himself. He says that he has compassion on us, that he remembers that we're dust, and that he doesn't hold his anger forever, that he has good plans for us and not evil plans. Yep. You know, the Lord, if you would just begin to go through your Bible and just see where the Lord talks about himself as a father. I mean, look how he puts up with his children time after time, turning their back on him, going away. And he's angry, but he doesn't let his anger go on forever. Yet he always longs to embrace them, and he always says, if you'll just turn, I'm ready to embrace you. You know, that is a father. And my advice would just be to believe him. Just take his word for it. And don't take anyone else's word for who the Lord is, but take the Lord's word for it. You know, don't be so sin conscious that you can't be father conscious. Yes, you're full of sin. We all are. But there's Jesus. And so that's what the Lord's given us. Thank God for it. Embrace the sacrifice and just keep showing up for the relationship. And I promise you that Father will meet you every day for the relationship.
What are the benefits that you feel out of this?
Well, one of the things that has changed my life in this is just the guilt has rolled away, and the pressure to always make sure I'm on God's good side and he's not mad at me today. It's just, you know, I've learned that it's not about me. It's all about Jesus.
Yep. So
it's all
about him. There's peace in there.
Well, you know, the Father's pleased with Jesus. Totally pleased with him. And so, yes, I've been bought and I've been washed in that blood. I don't have to be good enough. So I can relax and enjoy the relationship. Whether I fail today or whether I'm successful today, the relationship is intact. I have a son. Sometimes he's the best kid in the world, and then sometimes he's not. But he's my son. He will always be my son.
Right.
The relationship is intact.
I think that's part of what we see and feel, too, is that we somehow have to get good enough for God. Yeah. But Paul writes, for freedom, Christ has set you free. You know, and we often don't live in the freedom that we have. We get caught up in our religiosity. We get caught up in trying to work out our own righteousness as opposed to relying on what's already been done.
Yeah.
Christ's righteousness. Or turning around having God attack somebody. Saying,
yeah.
You know how you got hurt? God got you.
Yeah.
I've heard that before.
Yeah. I think as we've talked today, there's some avenues that people need to really start exploring. It makes a difference between whether you are just religious or whether you have caught the real meaning of the word, which is to have a relationship. This program has many times sent you back to the word. Go back to what he says. Go back to where he spells out his love for us from beginning to end. And Rhonda, I think that's probably your message all the way through, is just take him at his word. That's where we learn it.
Yeah, just believe him.
Yep.
You know, you might as well. Why not? I mean, we've believed all this other stuff people have told us. Why don't we just believe the Father himself and see what he says about himself and just live that way?
There you go.
Fantastic. Well, Rhonda, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. And we hope that sometime in the future we're going to have another opportunity to speak to you. God bless you and have a beautiful day.